special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Well, oh my god, like no good.
Oh, wow, Doc, Doc's got the moves. Doc's got those moves. I wish people could see your dancing skills right now. The sound effects just cap it off.
God.
Careful, you might put your back out. You could put your back out doing that.
Actually, I'm getting too old for that. It's getting harder and harder onto the table.
It's something I need once a week now, Doc, so there's no backing out of it, I'm afraid.
The thing is, now I wear straight jeans. They're really tricky to get over the ankle in a sexy way.
Yeah, quickly.
So, yeah, that's tricky.
You need to work on the wardrobe.
So this week, no, they didn't. I mean, there's many options to pick from the world of news. I mean, you look at all the stuff that's happening around the world at the moment. It really is. There's enough stuff that's going to make you go, what the? I think probably one of the ones that really made me do a genuine, like, comedy double take was Rachel Dolezal, who's the civil rights activist in the States, who you might have seen some stories about, sort of frizzy hair. Looks like she might possibly be light-skinned. Yeah, she's been fighting for civil rights for black people for over a decade, man, like 13 years. And then just last week, her parents called up a news organization in the States and said, we're both white and we definitely made her. So I'm not sure when she turned black. But it can't be anything other than sun-related. So this is a huge embarrassment. What's amazing about it, I mean, this is the no they didn't. It's not really that she was posing as black, although that is a no they didn't in itself. There's an additional no they didn't, in that she's been interviewed in New York by NBC for the news, and she said, hey, I'm still black. And what is going on in this woman's life where she genuinely feels that that's the best thing to do? And what is going on in any person's life when you live in a country like America and you think being black is the best option for you? It reminds me of that Chris Rock bit, you know, that he did about, like, changing places. Do you remember that bit where he was saying, like, there's never been a better time to be white? Being white right now is amazing. You know, you got all these benefits and whatnot. He goes, I guarantee you, there is not a white person in this room who would switch places with me. And I'm rich.
Yeah,
I'm going to write this white thing out.
I think the added thing that makes this story crazy with the Rachel Dolezal, I think her name is pronounced, is she's like a president of the Spokane NAACP, which is the National Association for Advancement of Colored People in America. Yeah, so I think a lot of people I saw were pretty outraged and offended. Like, what the hell? That's a job you're taking away from a black person and stuff. And I can understand how it's shocking. So people will be sort of taken aback by it. But to me, I just feel sorry for her.
Yeah,
like, she's obviously someone who needs some real hugs and, like, talking to and stuff. And maybe that's something she missed out on.
Yeah. I mean, I'm definitely not mad, because she's actually, when you see her, like, back catalogue, she's actually done a lot of good work. She should have just done it as a white person supporting the black cause, obviously. But all it says, really, is a massive insecurity. But on a very base level, what fascinates me about this is that we've all fronted a little bit every now and again to get a job or to get some attention.
The first thing I thought when I saw this story is, but the amount of black people who are trying to act like, pretend like they're white.
Mm.
The amount of times recently where in the corner of my eye, I've seen a poster or something, and I thought it was Beyonce. But when I turn around, it was a white woman.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, how much do you want to de-black yourself to get ahead and to advance, like, your career? So on the flip side, that's not something that I've heard many people, like, discussing or ranting about in relation to this story. But I find that extremely concerning when it's like you have a insecurity that makes you say, I need to fight what my genetics are, being black, and make myself more Europeanized.
Yes.
Negropeans, I've heard someone call it, kind of thing.
I like that.
To, you know, be accepted. Like, I think that's way more concerning than what this woman is doing.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this story is a little bit of a joke, but clearly she has some issues. I'd just love to know if there are some individuals out there who are brave enough to say, you know what, I lied to get this. You might have lied to get some. Who knows? You know, every now and again, we feel like maybe the best thing to do is conceal a little bit of the facts around who we really are in order to make a little bit more of an impact. I get that.
But I got to say that what's always surprised me is how many men in relationships try and hit on me.
Men who are in relationships,
yeah, but
with
they're
other
trying,
people
to,
trying to hit
yeah,
on you.
Like even married men,
right?
Where it's like, so it seems like these are the people who try and talk to me: homeless men, drunk men, and married men. Mm. So, and
all
so,
catches in their own way.
Yeah.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Just had this piece of paper delivered to me by our producer Nat, who is a legend, with the best tweets from Jaden Smith, Will's offspring, and this just gives you a sense of the boy.
Aww,
okay,
poor guy.
This is from 2012. I watch Twilight every night.
I'm so disconnected, I don't even know what that means.
I will always give you the truth. I will never lie to you in my music if you can't handle my feelings and my emotions.
He's so real.
Please,
man,
unfollow me. I only reply to the Sixth Amendment. Dying is mainstream is a good one.
Is he on drugs? Maybe that's what's going on.
Luke, full stop.
Who has
the trident? Most trees are blue. Is a good one.
He's just been taking mushrooms or something.
I hope it doesn't take for me to die for you to see what I do for you.
Wow.
His sense of honestly, this guy thinks he's a man. How could I remember
all
this
of
one?
These fools,
I remember
though.
This one from when I was following him. How can mirrors be real if our eyes aren't real? Think about that for a minute.
He's been eating some
seriously
Argentinian.
How can
mushrooms
mirrors be real
something?
If our eyes aren't real? Seriously,
like for real though.
Like totally.
No, but I feel that all of these kids are saying the same with the Kylie Jenner and the Kardashian kids. None of these people actually live in any sort of reality, and they are just in this position where their whole universe is giving them a distorted view of their.
Yeah.
Importance.
Oh, here's where I stopped following them as well. It's got the exact date that I said, you know what, Jaden? Fuck you. It was the 9th of December.
Did you actually add
2013. I wish you had.
I
think that about everybody on Twitter, but I never say it because I like when people diss me on Twitter, it hurts.
You get
you know
that?
I mean? Yeah, occasionally I get that, yeah.
I can't believe that.
I'm a regular on the television set.
No, I know.
So
but
there's always going to be somebody who goes, fuck you, you know, and it actually hurts. So I wouldn't say it on Twitter. I'm saying fuck Jaden right now because I'm gambling on him never listening to FUBAR Radio. So I don't think it's going to affect him.
So it's alright behind
his
back.
This was the day I unfollowed him. 9th of December 2013. School is a tool to brainwash the youth.
He's deep, man. He's been reading some conspiracy theory books or something like that.
Let me tell you something about
school,
yeah. Even if you don't believe in school, like the education, you think, oh, the history, where's the black history or whatever, all these are pertinent points, but at the very least, it's free childcare. And that's coming from a parent, and that's 100.
Yeah, so that's keeping it real. But yeah, so there was that case. Then there was also Taylor's, I think, MTV Awards. This is all kind of stuff that basically I attempt to block out because it's just a parasite in your brain when you pay attention to the tabloids.
You just feel like there's no future.
The VMAs, the VMAs happened. And I think Taylor Swift won some stuff, but Nicki Minaj got vexed because she didn't get nominated. And it's just like, look, you just take that on the chin and you keep, you know, working on kind of thing. But then she tried to, something kicked off online. I think Katy Perry got involved. I actually really don't care about what any of those people truly
have to
say.
Piers Morgan got involved. That's when I knew I needed to be uninvolved.
Yeah, he really wants to be down.
But yeah, then it turned into a black white thing, and you know, like Nicki was suggesting that maybe she was overlooked because she was black, and Taylor gets more advantage because she was white. Then Taylor suggested something quite interesting, was that maybe
the industry
loves to pit a woman against a woman. Maybe that's why we're beefing right now.
That was kind of random. It was like, huh? Like, what?
And I was like, you know what? Actually, I believe that. But it's kind of weird for you to try and sell that when you were the. You two just chose to diss each other. I don't think the industry called you up and went, Taylor, could you send this tweet? You know, like that didn't happen. So that was a bit weird. Then we had the Meek Mill Drake thing, which it's a bit unfair to call it Meek Mill Drake because Drake didn't say shit.
Didn't say or do anything.
Meek just kept coming out with these tweets about how Drake doesn't write his own rhymes. If Drake doesn't write his own rhymes, I mean, it's not like just a normal rapper not writing it, like P. Diddy, where all you do is a 16. I know you don't like Drake, but Drake makes songs.
He's a lyrical genius.
Oh, he is a lyrical genius, in my opinion. But he writes songs. He's singing, he's rapping, he's mixing it up. All of his songs are
They're very non-linear, right? So whoever is writing the shit for him, why doesn't he just write his own songs? And then Meek was like, to prove it, here's his name. Who the fuck is he? Why isn't he an artist? I don't buy any of it. So that beef as well, pointless. Unless Piers gets involved at some point, ignoring that
to make
one.
It even more pointless.
The one
that
that's
was
more
completely
of a traditional
pointless.
Beef.
Well, the, but
more
the,
a traditional
that's the
beef rap
that
beef.
Which actually ended up being one of my favourite things that I have heard.
Action
year,
Bronson versus Ghostface. Now,
in
how did
many
this
ways,
start?
It was
I missed
a long
I
time
how
coming.
This started.
Okay, it started
yeah,
like
because
this.
Everybody who first heard Action, just for, I mean, our age, just for, why is this white guy trying to be Ghostface? You know,
and, but even so,
my brother won't listen to Action Bronson because
out of
he sounds yeah our principal because he sounds like Ghostface. I've actually become a fan of Bronson because I've realised they're totally different, but they do sound very similar. You know when Ghost does his high pitched voice,
which basically isn't allowed in
it's
his
not really allowed. It's not
do you
really
know
allowed.
What I mean? And then I'm going to play something. But before that, even the other week, Action Bronson performed at Lovebox too,
right.
And after seeing that, I'm like, I ain't got time for this fool. He's basically a psycho. So some excited fan jumped on stage like, yeah, I love Action Bronson.
What did he do?
He just swung round with the left hook.
A man, a woman?
A man on the stage swung round with the left hook, beat the dude off the stage and just continued rapping. I was like, this guy's
that's
an
crazy.
Idiot.
I bet a lot of
that's
people cheered,
idiot.
Though.
The whole crowd cheered. But I was like, this is a fool. Like, that's no props. He should be happy that he didn't kill that dude. But anyway, that's a whole side point which has also put me off Action Bronson. But no, Action Bronson, he's got some flavours, he's got some tunes and stuff like that. But the way this all started was, in the first place, lots of people were confusing him thinking, oh, what? Ghostface has come out with some newness. Then last week or a couple weeks ago, what's his name? He was on ESPN, a sports show in the States, and they're interviewing him, and he said this.
Okay. Has it helped you or hurt your career when people say you sound like Ghostface? Where's that come from?
I think it's indifferent, actually, at this point.
Yeah.
You know, like, people compare Coke and Pepsi. People compare everything. No matter what, you're going to get a comparison to something, you know? And I'm just glad that it's one of the greats.
We're going to talk.
There you go.
Ghostface is my favorite.
Yeah, that's his favorite rapper right there.
Nice. That's right. I heard Action. The first time I heard it, I was like, yo, Ghost got some new stuff. Yeah, and I found out it was Action Bronson, but I'll tell you the truth, I bought the record right then.
That's right. Yep. He's not rapping like this no more.
Whoa. Was that a shot at the Ghost?
No.
Oh.
I'm just being honest.
I like that record.
Let's just be real.
Oh, damn.
Man, Ghostface got to come out with a remix to Chicken Fingers. He got to come
something.
Out with
it. He needs something.
I'm going to leave that alone. All right, let's go. Move on, girl.
I can't believe that he said that considering...
On ESPN.
What he owes Ghost, you know, like, in terms of his style.
This is millions of people watching this show. I don't know. And what, again, this whole celebrity era where people are just mad inflated, where it's like, this is not real. Like, because if we were face-to-face in the street, you wouldn't be chatting like that.
Of course
so
not.
Then,
the Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Someone very serious has just walked into the studio.
Indeed.
And I'm excited about it.
Indeed. We have none other than Manga from the legendary Roll Deep crew in the house right now.
He said serious, you know.
Yeah. An artist in his own right. Do not get me wrong.
So I was a little nervous. I wanted you to do the intro, you know, because I was thinking, like, as soon as I heard when you text me Manga, I was thinking, Manga from Roll Deep. Mm. Then I thought about it. I thought,
Manga
you know
from
what?
Roll Deep.
Is everybody, that's the first thing that people might think. But then I was reading a little about you and, you know, there's been a whole name change, and that seems like a conscious decision.
Mm, couple things.
To
yeah.
move forward. No disrespect,
no,
obviously.
No, it's
to
still
Manga
from
Roll
Deep. But yeah, definitely that.
Tell us about that. Manga Saint Hilaire.
The name change is just to signify like new music, new starts.
Mm.
And, you know, just so people just don't think I'm from Roll Deep. Like, my music's changed a lot.
Of course.
So it wasn't really a name change, it was like an addition.
Sure.
Just, you know, take Roll Deep out of all my usernames because everyone was just following me for that.
Right.
Like, I'll get so many people, oh, when are you doing the next song with Scotchy? I'm like, all right, let's relax, man. I've got other stuff to do as well. Like, I've done like 10 years of that, you know what I'm saying? And it's not like they're not my brothers and we don't still make music and like, it just, you know, I wanted a little change.
You know what fascinated me about, I think I must have read it in an interview or something, but what really like struck a chord with me was when you were saying part of your new beginning here is tied into the fact that you're not just that spitter anymore. You're not just like, oh, like, I'm rapping about how good I am at rapping. I'm
yeah,
not,
rapping
you know
about
mean?
Rapping is so
you know
boring,
saying?
Man.
And, like, that is the shit that puts me to sleep, personally.
Yeah, it's dead, like,
but it really struck a chord with me, because that idea that that's something you do when you're coming out, you know, you got to let people know who you are, fair enough. But you're not a kid anymore.
Yeah, it's been long, ages.
It's been a long time.
Ages.
And we want to hear about you. We want to hear where you're coming from, where you're going. You know, and
exactly.
there's so much happening in life anyway. I think about the conversations I have with my brethren every day. There's so many fascinating topics. And then you turn on a rap record or a grime record and you don't hear any of these topics.
People just
addressed.
Talking. And the worst thing, most of these grime MCs that I know have got sick stories. Like, like Wiley's got, like, well, it should be a movie. But everyone's got so many sick stories and they don't really tell them. And then when they do, they tend to go over that, like, to, like, hip hop or. Or they just don't say it. Do you know what I mean? Because grime is like energy, instant impact, rare. And I just realised I can't really write them songs. Like I was never I don't think I was ever good at it. Do you know what I'm saying? I don't think I was ever meant to be me. I don't think I can ever do like them one line flows. And
I think I personally think you were itching to just be a lot more creative than
that. Trying to
there were, you know, in I remember in, you know, because I grew up, you know, listening to, you know, I'll unashamedly admit I grew up listening to Roll Deep, listening to
Yeah, I did that. Oh,
yeah, for real. And then to be a part of the crew must have been, you know, yeah, exactly. But then there was, like, you know, there was cats like you, and there were cats like, you know, like Sharky Major.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Sick.
Too lyrical for Grime, you know?
Yeah.
And don't get me wrong, the people that have become superstars from Grime, you know, the Dizzy Rascals, and now, you know, Novelist is coming through, and that they've got stories to tell. Do not get me wrong. They don't dress it up in this super lyrical manner. They get straight to the point and tell you what's going on. Mm-hmm. But I think there is a different. You're absolutely right. You fit into a different category of people who just have. Almost too much to say.
And I think people should, there should be room for everything. Like,
yeah,
hip-hop, there's not one style of hip hop, you know? 100%. That's why I'm not saying, oh, I'm not Graham anymore. Like, you know, I'm saying, no, man, I am. Like, when Wretch was on Graham, you could tell he wasn't, not saying he wasn't good, but it was no space for him.
Course,
do you know what I mean? Like, then
course.
He, like, slowed it down, or the beat slowed down a bit, and you see how good he was.
More
so
understandable, it's true.
There's no point in me staying over there with, like, one word flows and sound effects and all that, and I'm just saying loads of stuff, and everyone thinks I'm rubbish, but really, I'm just in the wrong
audience. Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Interesting. So, are you working with completely different producers as well? Are you looking for a new sound as well as from a lyrical perspective?
If you listen to all my mixtapes, I just keep working with whoever, really. It's not a particular person. Like, on my new EP I got coming up, I'm working with, like, Nana Rogues, Hoochie, and Mr. Mitch. It's only 5 tracks.
Oh, Hoochie is brilliant. So is Nana Rogues, actually.
Yeah.
Hoochie, those two are amazing.
But I'm working with them for a little while. It's not like, when I was doing the Roll Deep work, there weren't really one or two producers. But I'm like Wiley, Danny, and Target, and Scratchy. But it was always working with everyone, really.
Sure,
do you know what I mean? But just new sounds that I'm more comfortable with myself.
Yeah,
if I want to try and sing a little vibe, I'll sing.
Yeah. Why not?
Yeah, and then no one can laugh at me anymore. I've got my own studio, so I just do it in a night time when I can sing.
And what's the name of this upcoming EP?
The Reluctant Adventurer.
The Reluctant Adventurer, I like that.
And it's just, it's literally about what we're talking about, you know, having to move away from somewhere.
Sick.
You don't want to move away from, like, you got a lot of love for what
of
you
course.
Have to do to progress.
Of course.
Yeah, so that's
and I like, I like that sort of almost oxymoron, because an adventure is something that sounds quite tempting to go on.
Exactly.
But then using reluctant before that, it really does give it an oxymoronic sort
bear
of vibe.
Smart,
you know?
I'm on bear smart.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
I wanted to say hi to Jokerstar.
How did you begin in, like, the whole hip-hop gang, kid?
I kind of got a lucky break. Like, I started rapping at 19. I went to study some music, business and technology courses locally where I lived in Slough. Then I went to do a BTEC national diploma. And a guy called Def G / Solaheen, who used to be in a group called Lords of Rap, was a tutor there.
The old school.
He worked with me. Ended up recording a song after a few MCing, DJing class lessons, which turned out to be the anthem. I'm just speeding this up. Followed up, did a follow-up song called Raw Spittage. Boom, got a lot of notoriety on some London airwaves.
It sounded like some next shit. I'll be honest with you. Like, I don't know you personally, but I really remember that coming out.
Right.
And I think we had, at the time, with the wave that me and Parky were a part of, I think we very much overdosed on that 90s hip-hop, and we were kind of recreating the hip-hop that we loved, you know? We did nothing wrong with that. But I distinctly remember hearing your tune. I think it was on an MK tape, and I thought, this is some next shit. This is a new era of
it's
shit.
Just the future.
I was like, okay. You know, and I think you were one of those artists who bridged the gap a little bit from what we were doing to like when the grime cats really started hitting.
Mm. I think always working with.
I think you bridged that gap.
Were you born and raised in Slough?
Yeah.
So what is the Slough hip hop scene?
It's basically him and Ricky Gervais.
It's just me.
There's a few other people that came before me in that, but no one really made any kind of big waves and stuff like that. Like I said, man, I kind of got a lucky roll of the dice when I went to study in London and.
Whereabouts in London did you say?
Where did I go again? It was near London Bridge, man. Yeah. So I studied there. I studied there and yeah, I just got put into the mix. Like before you knew it, I was at another station, like with the likes of Skinny Man, Black Twang, Maestro, around all these guys, Shawnee T, and it's my turn to rap. And you know, that's your chance there. You got to silence the room, innit? Like the way I was taught, rap to the point where no one wants to touch the mic after you've left it.
Yeah,
and then that kind of, with that, like there was a thing of where as well, no one knew what I looked like, no one knew where I was from, but all there was just stickers everywhere in London with my face on it. Like initially, I jumped in 2001, jumped out. Then I came back in. I was on in like 2005. I was on the Terry Walker remix with Estelle. Then I jumped out again. Then I jumped back in with some the Northborough Estate mixtape, which then you started to play with Memories and all that stuff on there. Then I was on the Feeding Time at the Zoo, first, second time round. And then I had a little quiet period for a couple of years. Then I put Bludgeon out. Then I had another quiet period.
Listen, this is more consistent than a whole bunch of people out here that I know who are considered like legends and things like that.
Am I right in saying most recently, like so some of the younger kids who listen to rap would know you more from battling?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think they. I think it's two separate entities now.
No, 100%. I think they're different careers. They're almost like it's a bit like athletics, isn't it?
Yeah,
like,
bro.
Doing like the 200 meters and then doing fucking long jump or something.
Yeah,
it's very different.
Yeah, definitely.
But one can definitely heat up the other one.
Definitely. Yeah.
We're talking about him battling today. Whether you should do it.
I think
beef.
Yeah, there's definitely some beef.
Soon, it's time for Are You Taking the Piss? And that's the point in the show, guys, in case you don't know about Are You Taking the Piss? Where we ask the listeners to tell us what this week has made them say, Are You Taking the Piss? So, and it's lovely to have Michael Parkinson and Joker start in the studio for us.
You.
And I'm so pleased that you're getting to join us for some.
Are You Taking the Piss?
My Are You Taking the Piss is Sandra Bland.
Ah, you just took mine right away from me.
That's it.
Break it down. You got time, Joker.
Where do you begin? It's like,
for those who don't know, Sandra Bland was a lady who was pulled over in the state in Texas for not signalling when she was changing lane on the freeway, which ended up with her being taken into custody at the police station, and she was found dead in her police cell, and they ruled her death as a suicide by hanging. And it's just like completely ridiculous. She had just gotten a new job. She had no, you know, her rights were violated in terms of her not needing to be arrested in the first place. And so the whole thing is ridiculous.
I just think that we document it more.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like, and these social networking has made it easier for us to see what's going on the other side.
Everyone
of the
has
world.
A camera on their
phone. That's true. So I understand what you're saying. Like, it's always been there, right?
It's always been there.
It's just harder to hide.
But it's those points, though, because I think having a black president is a focal point for racists in the States. It's almost like a spark plug, you know? It's just like this little thing that gets it started. It's a conduit for that tension to bubble up to the surface. Donald Trump, who we're all fucking laughing at, is now
trying to run for it.
He's considered a realistic.
But that's always happened.
That's always happened in American politics.
Ronald Reagan was an actor. He ended up being the president of the United States. Yeah. You had Arnold Schwarzenegger, the Terminator, became the governor of California. So this is not an unusual thing. These are things that have always happened. But it's like now
reactions to liberalism. That's what it is. But the thing is, it's as you said, everything's documented more.
So it's becoming more aware, and you have these campaigns like the Black Lives Matter. Yeah. So people are, it's, but the awareness is becoming heightened.
You can't pull a fast one over people now. You can't pull a fast one.
Yeah, but I've always known racism, but I'll be honest with you, I think the last 2 weeks I learned the real meaning of racism.
Where? Like, in America?
It was, I know it's funny, Facebook, yeah, out of all places. And it was a woman doing a study for healthcare and stuff like that, but she just talked about the fundamentals between black racism and the powers that be, sorry to say, white racism. And she says, it starts off with fear. Now, with black racism, they'll always cuss and they'll say whatever, but we won't do anything about it. Black people won't, you know, there will never be something. But with the actual, you know, general cluster, you know, that type of racism, they actually affect your life, how you live your life. You're more likely to get stopped if you're black. You're more likely, that is taking the piss.
But listen, this is FUBAR Radio, and as you know, we like to mix it up. We like to get involved in some fucking heated debate.
Yeah.
Also, we like to lighten it up as well. It's a little bit of both. It's the best of both worlds. You know, when you got someone like Sarah and you got someone like me in the same room, you're going to have brevity and levity. You know what I'm saying?
What a lovely show. So great, good having you guys with us, Michael Parkinson and Joe Castor. Thank you for joining us this weekend.
Thanks for listening, guys.
Guys.
Don't forget to email in next week, guys.
And so,
that's my proper radio voice. Hi, guys. Guys, thanks for coming in. Keep emailing us in, guys, because the show's all about you guys. So, guys, thanks for listening.
You got that Pat Sharp.
Trust me.
Pat Sharp, where's he at?
Funhouse.
I hope he's still got his hair.
Pat Sharp's just swimming in a bed of money.
Has he still got a mullet?
I hope so.
No, he's just got a high
school. Is he doing Funhouse?
With the twins in the Funhouse.
Probably just
having bare fun.
I so badly wanted to go on Funhouse.
He's in his own house.
It's the Funhouse. Got the little cars. The little cars and the two twins.
Let me just take on the show.
Killing it.
Oh, I so badly wanted to be on Funhouse and Crystal Maze, and that's making a comeback too.
Is it?
And Krypton Facts Up.
What about Nightmare? Where you had to put the fucking hat on.
Trust me, Nightmare's going. Oh my God, Nightmare is coming back.
Let me just shout out Matthew Thomas at MatthewThomas32 on Twitter suggested I rap about bacon sandwich, ketchup, or brown sauce. And that's the one I chose. People know I love rapping about food. So this is for Matthew Thomas. So let's get into it. Here we go.
Can I do ad libs?
Yeah, man, help yourself. Here we go. Every week I got that true promise. I'm a rap about anything. So this is for Matthew Thomas. And I'll never ever fake that flow. So this week, we're gonna chat about bacon rolls. And the specifics of the song I've penned is that when it comes to yours, what's your favorite condiment? Got the pork butt, what you put round yours? Do you go for ketchup or are you straight fucking with brown sauce? Cause that shit could split the nation. Are you on the brown or the red side? A real situation. Some would say HP would make it sizzle more, but Heinz is traditional. This could be a civil war.
Yeah.
And you're thinking, wait now, his name's Doc Brown, so he probably has brown. Fam, I'm not down. But here's something that might surprise you. Brown sauce, red sauce, me? I have neither. I'm a straight up heart attack nutter. No sauce, just a roll with enough butter. Fucker.
There ain't no pork on my fork.
I eat a lot of pork. I eat a lot of pork.
That was impassioned.
Thank you. Because I'm very serious about my bacon rolls.
That was hot fire.
You know, the thing is, if you grow up mixed race like me, like, and you're half Jamaican and your mum's a Rasta, a half English white, and your dad's like old school Cotney, the bacon rolls is trouble. Because you smell it.
That could divide a family,
you smell
man.
It, and then there's issues around it. And then obviously, if you keep something from a kid, they're going to want it. And me, as you know, I have very few morals, so I was straightened on the bacon roll. I've always been
like
there, but I've never
crack.
Put sauce on it. No. I love brown sauce with my sausages, but on a bacon roll, I just butter and black pepper.
I really respect the values that you brought through in that rap there. You definitely represented for the passionate bacon butty peeps. Did you say bacon butty at all in the rap?
I didn't say butty. That's strange. I should have said
missed
that.
Out on the butty.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Joined now in the studio by none other than Michael Payne.
Yes, Michael Payne in the house.
It's good to be here.
Thanks for coming down.
No worries.
Yeah, it was a short journey, right?
Yeah, I was just in the studio with The Last Skeptic, who's obviously a good friend of yours.
Yeah, I'm going to get him on the show in a couple of weeks,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, it'll be good. Yeah, so I was just at his, just recording a cool little tune. It's got like Screw Fizzer on it already.
That guy is sick.
Yeah, his flow is just...
Skeptic keeps playing me stuff, but I'm like, wow, this dude is, he could be the next guy. Like,
it's ridiculous, yeah.
It's so hard to know, like, who's gonna blow, who isn't.
That's
these
the
days.
Thing.
It's just so much choice.
It's like really cool to be among you as peers now, because I've been listening to you guys from, you know, back in the day, like Deal Real days. Like, I was aware of you guys good 5-6 years before you even knew who the hell I was. So that's really cool.
So yeah, we're just saying as well, you just come from the studio. Doc thought you would have ridden your bike.
Yeah,
you didn't. You got the cab because last time, well, Doc's bike got stolen.
Yeah, I've had bikes stolen. I remember outside when I used to go to Just Jam, Tim and Barry.
Okay,
and I used to do like a live streaming grime event from Alibi in Dalston. And the first time I went to Alibi, I got like a brand new bike. And I went in there, I was only in there for as long as it takes me to finish 2 pints of Guinness, which isn't very long at all. And I came out, and but I had like quite a big lock on around the frame. They'd taken everything else, literally everything else. The chain, even, they took that. Do you know what I mean?
Just on the bike thing. So, Dirty Rider on the video clip, and that a few thunts and stuff. Like, can you do any tail whips? Can you do any of that shit?
No, you know, when I was younger, I used to like, you know, you just used to have like, I had like a ratty little Townsend 10-speed that my parents got me. It was just a mountain bike, but we used to practice wheelies and we used to go up ramps and stuff like that. But I was a lot more intrepid back then. I wear glasses now. I've got a lot to lose. You feel me?
Like, but also, your bikes are a lot nicer now. Yeah, that's Instagram and shit.
That's the thing. So yeah, my bikes are nice now. Like bikes. Big Up Charge bikes, because they sort me out a lot. Mm. It was actually quite cool because of Dirty Rider. That spawned the relationship between me and Charge Bikes.
See, like I'm one of them dudes. Like I'm an absolute slag when it comes to like trying to get like freebies or whatnot.
Same.
And I always like, I start seeing Michael's Instagram. He's like, hey, Big Up Charge bikes, and he's always on like some new bike and it looks slick. And stuff. I try and be like, hey, I like cycling too.
I
still buy all my bikes from like, I'm gonna do a shout out Barclays bikes on Stoney Hill and High Road. Yeah,
you know Barclays.
As soon as I get one nicked, I'm back in there, bro. I got 80 quid. What are you doing? What are you doing for me?
It's gonna be great promo from them as well. Like, every time Dr. Rang gets one of their bikes stolen, as in they're
easy to steal. I'm trying to get burgers, man. I'm trying to get Five Guys to sponsor me, man. What's going on?
Yeah, that's the funny thing. I'm the least known of everyone in this room, but yet I get hats, sunglasses, shirts, get everything I want.
It's a strong look, mate. Freebies are the way forward.
Have you seen the BMX movie Rad?
Yeah, do you know, I'm wearing the Rad.
That's what I love.
I'm wearing the Rad shoes. I'm wearing the Rad Vans collaboration now. Big film.
Because I grew up as like a little BMX bandit. So that's why I was like, Dirty Rider, yeah. That's the joint, man.
I wanted to make it for all like cyclists of all disciplines. I didn't want it, because obviously I ride fixed wheel, like mainly, but at the same time, you know, I've got a nice road bike. But you know what? If I'm to be perfectly honest, it's like once you ride a fixed wheel bike, you realize how reactive it is compared to a free wheel bike. Do you understand? And it's more than just style. Don't get me wrong, aesthetics is a big thing for me, but just how reactive the bikes are is a bigger thing for me. So I'd suggest anyone just try riding fixed for even a day and you get used to it. And
I'm going to do it.
I've
really changed gears, so I don't even know why.
That's the thing. You get a decent ratio on a fixed wheel bike and you're all right. Going up hills is going to be a bit of a challenge, but only a bit of a challenge. It's not going to be impossible
at
all.
It's good
exactly.
For you.
Exactly.
So, you know, I was telling people, you know, I got Michael Payne on the show today and there's loads of people talking about your tunes and whatnot, but there was an equal amount of people saying, when you see him, you are ask him this question. Because, like, I love your Instagram, I have to say. There's loads of people I follow, there's people I really love, there's people I'm not that friendly with. But the variations in their Instagrams, you know, like, some people's stuff, like, they're really cool people, or their careers are amazing, and their Instagram's mad boring.
Mm-hmm.
You got a great career, but your Instagram's super entertaining as well. So there's one question that kept popping up, which is, it's twofold, really. One's about cycling.
Mm-hmm.
It's about this concern, really, from your fans for some of the selfies that you take actually on two wheels. The other one is selfie related again, which is just how in the name of shit do you take these photos where we can see both your hands?
Do you know what? I will let
tripping
people
in on
the secret.
You say, or is it like some magic circle shit?
No, not even. I'll say, you download the timer app. That's all you do. Yeah, you download the timer app. You put the phone in your mouth.
Right.
And that's it.
It's almost an anticlimax.
It is an anticlimax. I was going to say something massive, like, yeah, I've got ins in, you know, Apple, and I'm a cyborg. I actually take the photo with my eye, but no, I don't. I've got
minions just holding the shit for you.
Have you ever like had to slam on the brakes and swallowed a phone? Have to go through.
Thankfully, no.
That day is coming.
Not yet. Exactly. Not yet.
Well, what about the album Black? Blame Miss Barclay.
Yeah, my debut album.
Yeah, so what's going on? Like, you've got a teacher that you're a big fan of. Have you been in touch with her since? Does she know?
A documentary flying around where I go on a hunt for Miss Barclay. I hadn't seen her for like 15 years before this documentary was shot, and I'm not going to give out any spoilers and tell you what happens in it, but called Finding Miss Barclay. So people check that out.
I never knew that existed.
Online. She like really believed in my creative writing from early, before I even knew I could write creative. Do you know what I mean? I just used to do it as like, I don't know, just because the curriculum told me to do it. Do you know what I mean? It's like, all right, do this. Like, you know, I kind of thrived when the homework was creative writing. I always got top marks, and she always used my work as an example for the other kids. And even though I wasn't like the model student and that, you know, I bunked a lot, but I never bunked English. Mm. I never, ever bunked English because I never bunked the lessons that I liked. So, yeah, like drama,
for
French,
me, that's school
English.
In a nutshell, though. Like, yeah. How can you be expected to be good in all of these different topics
when you're being taught something you don't care about?
I'm not Hermione Granger. Give me a fucking break.
Like, design and technology, I thought, I don't want to make wood boxes,
it's never
going to
happen.
Exactly. There's not one part in my life where I think I'm going to need that skill. I remember I had to make a wood box. I remember I had to build a circuit. I don't care.
Oh, shit, the lads are coming over to watch the footy. Luckily, I know how to make profiteroles. What the fuck? I don't need to learn that.
I think they should have, in year seven, you do all the subjects, but you break off from them. You pick the subjects you want to do, because then there's no risk of you bunking, there's no risk of you being disruptive, because you actually like what you're being taught.
Like, by the time I got to the point where I could have one subject at university, I was burnt out. I already hated education.
Exactly. Same with me.
Dropped out after 1 year.
Same with me.
Here's a question, though, like, just going back to Miss Barclay. Have you seen the Grime Daily documentary on Ian Wright?
No, not yet.
Okay, so that's worth seeing, because it's a very similar thing. It starts off, he talks a lot about his alcoholic mom. He had an estranged dad, and then his stepdad was very abusive to him. All he loved was football.
Right.
And it was his maths teacher, this old guy, who like basically helped wangle him out of school to get into these football lessons and whatnot. And he was talking about how he dedicates his career to this old dude. He's probably dead now. And then they hunted him down.
No way.
He's like, he doesn't know it's happening. And he's like sat in Highbury in the old stands. This doddery old white dude comes out.
Damn.
And Ian Wright just breaks down in tears, man. It's an unbelievable moment. Damn. It's worth checking. You're an Arsenal fan as well.
Yeah,
right?
I'll definitely check that out.
Yeah. So, Michael, like, obviously, you know, like, I mean, for me, it's just a beautiful thing to have you and Genesis in here. I know a lot of people think, like, Doc's gone Hollywood or whatnot. I follow all of the rap shit. Like, 100%. I love it. It's so much easier for me now as well, because there's no jealousy attached.
Yeah.
Like, when I was trying to be a rapper, like, other dudes would be doing well. I'm like, fuck that guy. Now I love it. I just love seeing everybody doing well. Mm. What's coming up next for you? Like, what we got? Is there something live coming up? You got a big release?
I'm actually this is probably going to be my most historical moment. I'm actually supporting Prime.
So that's Royce the 5'9" and now Premier for those that aren't aware.
Sort of like maybe about a year and a half ago, I met DJ Premier because he was over in London recording with a lot of artists. Mm. One of the artists he was recording with, or two of the artists, was Rizzle Kicks, and they're good friends of mine. So they were like, they know I'm a huge Premier and, you know, gangster fan. Mm-hmm. So they told me to come through to studio just to meet him and that. Mm. So I did. We became friends. When I was in New York, we were, you know, hanging out and that. It was really cool. Just randomly, I was chatting to his manager, Ian, who's a good friend of mine as well. And I just said, oh, like, you know, it would be sick for the Prime Tour to come to the UK. Hint, hint, if you ever want a support act. He texted me the same night. He was like, yeah, do you want the support slot? I was like, hell yeah.
Primo is like that, though. You know, like, he could go through the avenues if he wanted to. But when he likes you, he just hollers.
That's it.
That's the way he
is. 100%. 100%.
I don't think he's ever really been interested in the sort of
the
star
industry,
thing.
No, he hates it.
He's never been like a sort of David Guetta type DJ.
Nah.
Even though he could be.
He could be huge.
He could be like, I am hip hop.
Totally. Totally. Totally.
And he's never been like that.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Hey, it's time for Are You Taking the Piss?
So listen, you were saying something about your friend was DJing and nearly got arrested.
You don't.
How does that happen?
Well, this is another thing that you don't want to happen. Basically, I was DJing at a club on Saturday night, and a friend of mine was there, a couple of friends of mine were there, and then afterwards, I'd just finished, and apparently what had happened was, and the security at the end of the night had said to them, hey, like, you guys are going to bounce, and they're like, no, we're here with Hugh, and he's like, yeah, that's fine, but you've got to go out the front and just move away while we clear everybody out of the venue, and Hugh will come out. Well, as soon as he's packed down, Hugh will come out. So if you're cool to just chill out there, and they were like, yeah, but why we want to wait inside or something. Basically, this whole thing escalated. apparently my friend, all right, now, I love this person. I'm not going to air him out on, you know, they know who they are. I love this person, but they get rowdy. They're that friend, you know what I mean? Everybody's got that friend who just gets a little bit loose. But, man, I'll tell you what, those friends, I'm sure you...
Everybody's got one. I'd love to hear from the listeners and know who your friend is. Maybe it's you. Maybe you're the guy. If you think you've not got one, it could be you. You know, I got a friend and I can't name him because so many of the things that he's done completely and utterly illegal. I mean, this dude from way back would always, if anyone slighted him, he'd just one punch to the face every time, he'd just knock him out.
Yeah.
And getting into the world of rap as a youngster, that became a terrifying situation because he would punch people that I was definitely never anything like brave enough to deal with the follow through on, you know? So I would, whenever you show up, I always be like, oh shit.
Yeah.
If it goes down tonight, what am I going to do about it? Because I'm a lover, not a fighter. Absolutely. I think most people know that.
Yep.
But he's still very friendly with my brother.
Hang on, how many people have you loved?
Oh, he's hit a lot. If you ask around, like, I mean, we could talk about it off air, but if you ask around, like, British hip hop people between, like, 2000 and, like, 2006, there's not many people who got away without being punched in the face by this guy. But, yeah, I was chatting to my brother recently, and he was saying, oh, yeah, this guy has got a job in this clothes shop, and it was all going well, and he just got fired the other day, and I was like, oh, shit, what happened?
Oh, no.
And the floor manager was... It got everyone together and saying, look, commission's really low because certain people aren't pulling their weight.
Yeah.
Specifically you in the shoe department. And here's a few things that I think could be done to before you could even get into to improve your punched in the face. How can you take that to a job like that?
Damn, I know.
So yeah, I hope he's back in employment, but at the same time, I almost hope he isn't.
It's such a tough one, you know, like because you know, like we were saying, everybody's got that friend that always takes it a bit too far, it gets a bit too trashy, and it's like especially if you've known someone for a really long time, 10, 15,
because then
20 years,
you kind of got to back it.
Like, you have to.
You're going to side with a stranger over your friend that you've known for 20 years.
It's like, really? Again? You've done it again? But like, what do you do? You can't just...
Yeah, we're grown men now. I just can't believe I still have friends who settle like minor disagreements with a punch in the face.
I know. Yeah, see, that ain't cool. But you know what I thought? What Doc and I thought would be the most apt person to give their opinion on this is the one and only, pretty much best friend of the show. I'm going to throw it out there and say...
Yeah, there's no one else.
Pete from Pimlico.
With that level of connection.
Yeah.
There he is. Hello, good sir.
Yeah, how are you going, guys? Yeah.
Well, we're doing all right, but I mean, I'm sure, as you would have just heard, you know, a friend of mine who is always that friend that goes a little bit too far got banned from the club where I was DJing. So we're talking about that friend that everyone has. And we thought you'd be the man to give your opinion on this.
Yeah, you're right. I'm the man to talk about this. But why is you as a powerful man, why did you not say, he's my friend, whatever he does, you let him in?
Well, because I wasn't even there by then. They were basically out the front having this conversation after they'd already been asked to leave. So
Yeah. Because I got sucked in the club once. They go, you can't come in. I go, what? Right. Okay, I've got to text my DJ friend on the decks. He stopped the music, innit? He stopped it live in the club till I'm getting in.
Yeah.
That's how you do it.
I know exactly, because I've been at the other end as well, where you've got friends playing a gig.
You're filthy bastard, man. You've been at the other end. I've never been that end.
I know what you're saying.
Who's the guy in your clique that just cannot be trusted? Is it you?
He can't get in because he comes out with us a couple of times. He's been with us. He's not even invited, like. But you know, he's a mate. So we go, come along then, dude. And we get through the front door. He's got trainers on, isn't it?
Say it again?
But he's got trainers on. It's one of these punchy clubs, Devonshire place or whatever. Okay. They won't let him in. Although now I'm old, I like getting turned away from clubs, you know what I mean?
It makes you feel youthful again.
Go for a hot chocolate.
That's a beautiful thing.
But what's some of the stuff this person's done?
You know, he gets a bit aggressive, innit? He's an aggressive guy, innit? You know, you got to walk around the street, you got to be move out the way. He doesn't move out the way, and he gets... But the thing is, he's not very tough, innit, bro? So he gets punched all the time, and he gets like a thick ear, and you know, fat lip. He's getting beaten all the time, so he's like walking around like he's tough, and he ain't tough.
So
and
he talks a good game. He wants to, like, he attracts confrontation, is what you're saying.
Yeah, he seems to like getting punched. You know, it's one of them blokes who likes, they like attract it, and they, I think they get something out of it.
Do you know, I've got a friend of mine. She's back in Australia, but she's like that friend as well. Like every time we'd go out with,
oh,
you know,
God,
before it's even midnight, just about every single time we'd be out, she'd be up on a table, she'd dance, she'd break it, she'd fall over, she'd smash glasses, she'd start taking her clothes off, she'd be pretty much every time before midnight, she would be kicked out of wherever we'd go.
Yeah.
It's definitely the same, and she would do it all the time as well.
Yeah, I was lucky once getting thrown out of a club. I was getting a skill back. I fell asleep in this club, innit?
Yeah.
This girl pours a pint on my head. I know a friend of mine, right? So I thought, I'll get a pint. I'm about to throw it. I throw it. She moves out the way. It goes over the sort of gangster guy.
Dude, you can't throw pints at people. What are you doing?
What the fuck? Well, she poured a pint on me, right? So I was getting her back. It ended up, like, she moved out of the way. It's going all over the sky. He's like, this was during the Bobby Brown era, you know, back in the 80s. And he's like, he's well pissed off, dripping off his satin shirt in beer. And, you know, it's a bit of a dodgy guy to throw a pint of beer on. Luckily, the bouncer seen it, threw me out. Otherwise, I'd be mincemeat, blood.
All right, well, thank you very much, Pete.
Always it's a pleasure.
Always great to have you on the show.
Yeah, blood, nice to hear it. What's going on in your lives anyway, blood? You all right, yeah?
We're good, man. We're good. Obviously, we're missing Sarah, you know, but we're getting on.
Where's she gone, blood? Where is she? What's going
on? She's claiming exhaustion, which is rock and roll for... I've been to
rehab. Yeah, tried to make a go at rehab, and she said yes. She said, I love some of that, blood.
Thanks, Pete.
All right, Pete, we'll chat to you real soon, all right, mate?
She's down the Pamela Ewing clinic, isn't it, blood?
I love your 80s references, man. I hope our fans get them. Let's have a look at Tom from Nowhere says, we're your friend. He's got tickets to Comic-Con, yeah, which we all fucking want, and takes his girlfriend, who doesn't even like comics, instead of his best mate, who loves them. That is...
Are you taking a piss?
That is actually.
You know what? Of all the emails we've got today, that is the clearest sort of piss take.
Yeah.
Ever. Yeah. Like, if she doesn't like comics, then that's a day for the boys. Surely.
Yeah, definitely.
Surely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's obviously pandering to his girlfriend. Maybe the relationship needs a little bit of a massage, you know, a bit of a reboot. But if she doesn't like comics, she's going to be bored anyway.
Yeah,
and it's a wasted ticket.
Well, I was showing a friend of mine on the weekend, right, and she was saying that her ex-boyfriend, right, he'd done something really bad. Don't need to go into the show. It's pretty inappropriate. He did something bad. So he's trying to make up for it by he got her tickets to Love Box last year, right? He was like, I got you 2 weekend passes, babe, because I'm really sorry. I really stuffed up. Obviously, this guy was thinking, sweet, you know, I'll get her this thing. It's a gift for us, for her, for us.
Mm-hmm.
No, she took her best friend.
Wow.
She took her best friend.
Wow.
Good on her.
Fair play. She just like, 2 tickets. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
I'll tell you exactly how it went down. Check my Instagram.
That's right. You do ever do that shit again?
Are you taking the piss?
Hey, we're not far away now from getting into Doc's rap about we're anything. Close. Have you? You got your topic? You're all sorted?
Yeah, you know what? We've had a few suggestions, and I really appreciate them. I might even do the sandwich thing next week, because I do like rapping about food.
You do.
So I've scribbled down a little something. I hope it's good. We'll get into it. Well,
sure
you guys can be the judges of that, you know?
Sure will be, mate. They're always better.
I picked the debate on kids in restaurants, you know, and how we feel that we should deal with this subject matter. So I've got a few ideas that we could deal with. Who should we be shouting out here for the suggestion?
Oh, I forget his name.
It was an email, wasn't it?
It was an email.
Scroll down to the bottom.
I can try.
Give him a shout out, man.
All right.
It's important that the listeners get some love.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
Because they're just such great guys.
They are really great
guys.
Say again. Terry from...
Thanks, Tel.
Terry from We Don't Know.
Nice
just Terry.
One, Tel.
Good on you, Terry. Really appreciate it. All right, mate. Let's jump
into
it.
This one's for you, Tel. Let's do it. This one is going out to all the parents and the people who hate parents. Yeah. Here we go. In a cafe, I don't want to be disturbed when I'm eating. Here I am waiting to be seated. See this toddler screaming, man, I don't believe this. All I'm saying is if he can't behave, maybe we should consider a purpose-built cage. Mate, then they wouldn't be around you. Padded white floor and the walls could be soundproofed, but made out of glass. So if they start to kick off, you can see them and
go beat their ass.
Yes.
And I mean that metaphorically. Find a way to shut the fucker up, cause I gotta eat. Hey, you could put food in the cage, dude. Big bowl of sweets and maybe a cake too. Yeah, get them high on the sugar. Get them going nuts, throwing punches and boogers. Then you wouldn't need music with your food, you see. Get them cage fighting. It'd be like UFC. might sound like a strange thing, but it would be silent and great entertainment. It's baby caging. Yeah, hey! Baby caging. That's all I'm saying. Baby Cajun. Think about it.
What you know about Baby Cajun?
Baby Cajun.
What you know about Baby Cajun?
Hashtag Baby Cage.
Oh, you're a legend, Doc Brown. Oh,
thank you very much.
Every week.
What
smashes
a
it. Smashes it out of the park every week, mate. Doc Brown, I realised, just actually we were halfway through the show, which is kind of sad. Today is our technically our 6 month anniversary of the show. Can you believe that?
Oh, shit. I didn't get you anything, man.
That's right. You said let's go and have a beer after the show, but I don't have my wallet.
Yeah, I don't have my wallet.
We'll go and do that.
But it will be great. That beer is going to taste so good.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
We ask you guys what this week has made you say.
Are you taking the piss?
We need to know.
Yeah. What's been taking the piss this week? Not much, really. Oh, maybe just my sister's dog a little bit. I got, like, my sister's away and I'm looking after her dog for, like, 3 weeks.
Mm. Is it just destroying the house?
It's just taking the piss out of my life a little bit because it's like a pug. You know what pugs are?
Pug life?
They're like these
ugly
cute littles. Well, some of them are cute. This one's cute, but they're all very small.
If you just concentrate on the eye or the wagging tail, it's not
they're
ugly.
They're very effete. Yeah. You know, they're not like dogs to have on the ends.
Yeah.
You know, they can't fuck with other dogs at all. They're basically like little cats.
Yeah, ugly cats.
So I have to walk it around the hood, and it's just embarrassing.
It's killing your whole street
like people
cred.
Are laughing at me and laughing
got
at
no
the dog.
Cred in Hackney no more.
Yeah.
No, actually, your cred in Hackney's going up the way Hackney is nowadays.
Yeah, I need to get
really,
grow a beard or some
you.
Shit.
Yeah.
And then, like, last night, there was a fucking mouse in the living room.
Did
it looked like
itself?
A shrew. It had big ears.
Sure it was another pug?
I'm watching, like, Orange is the New Black, so I say to the dog, sick it. And the dog started whining and screaming.
Aww.
It might as well have pulled
like,
its little apron over its face.
Aww.
You know, it was terrified of a mouse.
That's like when my sister found a mouse in her house, and so then they threw the cat in the same room as the mouse, and the cat literally shat itself. In the
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That could have been more
that
down to throwing the cat. Don't throw a cat.
Like, that's, what the hell do you get a cat for? It's just going to shit itself. And so
there's a few piss takes
there's
that have been sent into the studio. Shall we see what the listeners are saying is taking the piss?
Definitely.
Is it that time?
I love getting this insight into the listeners' lives.
Yeah. This
and
is
what
from
really, like,
Simon in Welling Garden City.
That's fun to say.
Who says, my Kodak lens is trapped round the back of my fucking eye.
Oh.
I'm having trouble digging it out. They are taking the piss. I like that. They are taking the piss.
My
who,
eye
who
and
are
the context.
No, oh, he's saying that I am the context.
Context.
Oh, that's nice.
They
I thought he was talking about the powers that be somehow.
Definitely
like Johnson and Johnson. They're taking a piss.
No,
Simon, I feel for you.
That.
That's fucked up. It's
like,
horrible when that happens.
What do you do in that situation?
Oh, it's horrible. There's a brief moment of real panic and you think you're going to have to go to hospital.
I'm going
to
die.
But then
sorry,
you just sort of like constantly no it is, it's really scary. You just constantly keep blinking and you start
Jesus.
To feel where it is, but you're pulling your eyelid out. You look like a pug while
you're
doing it.
You're supposed to shut
up.
Your eyes and go into fetal position and then until everything gets better.
Yeah
apparently that's,
just
that's
wait until things get better. No, but if anything gets stuck in your eyes, blinking is the thing.
Sally in Potter's Bar is having a very female moment. She says, "It's goddamn rain has mashed up my hair. And no frizzies, yeah, that's a product, right? No frizzies is going to fucking fix it. A girl needs good hair. My hair is my fortune."
Wow.
I like that little side at the end. My
you
hair
know
is my
what,
fortune.
Is she
genuinely a
no, you
a
know
hair
what?
Model?
I think she's biting Maya Angelou. Maya Angelou has some deep, like, saying
oh,
about your
same.
Hair. A woman's hair is her glory.
Right, okay.
That's what Maya Angelou
even
said.
Bald bitches.
If I married Sally in Potter's Bar and we got divorced, I want fucking half your hair. If that's your fortune,
yeah,
I want
for
shave
real.
Your head, half your head. I want half. Well, half.
Half, Eddie.
Half your head.
Yeah.
Why don't you love me, Eddie?
Simon in Reading says, "I was called into work last Thursday during a tube strike when it was my day off. Are you taking a piss?"
Are you taking the piss?
Week. He's still angry.
That's
he's still angry.
I'd be fucking angry for the rest of my
were
life.
Were you on the
happened.
Tube during that, like,
I was actually, I was in Southeast London at one of the last bastions of vinyl in the UK, the Vinyl Cafe. Shout out the dudes running that. Having a beer, getting ready to travel to Bristol.
Mm-hmm. Now, what I didn't know was it wasn't just a tube strike. There was a first Great Western strike. Ooh. So all trains going west out of London, mm-hmm. which meant everybody was on the road. So I jumped into my car in Deptford.
Have you drinking and driving?
I had one beer, man.
Sure, but I know you're a fucking lightweight, mate.
Listen, if there's anything I'm not, it's a fucking lightweight.
Oh, sure.
I jump in a car.
One beer.
3 hours, 15 minutes to get to the M4 from Deptford, right? 3 hours, 15 minutes.
Wow.
And then when I got on M4, I realised, I turned on the radio, the trains out of London were on strike as well. So everybody who was trying to get home west of London was on the M4. It was another 2 hours, 45 minutes on the flipping motorway to get to Bristol. It took me 6 hours.
Have you actually gotten to Bristol yet?
I'm nearly there.
Are you still on route?
I'm nearly there. I'm taking a pit stop doing the show. Right. I'll get there, guys. Don't worry. Thanks for that, Simon. Who else? We got a couple more. Let's get into these quickly. From Stevie in the Hood, in brackets Putney. That's one, Stevie. I lost my ring and a lighter today. I'm not sure who's taking a piss, but it could be the few cheeky gin and tonics I had when I bunged off work early at 2 p.m. That's my guy, that's Stevie. Listen,
big up,
good man.
I
good
like
man.
The honesty.
Lost the ring and the lighter.
I think we should set a challenge 1 week if we can find any. Are you taking the piss that don't involve alcohol?
Yeah, there's not.
It's true. There are a lot of alcohol-related taking the piss.
This is giving me an idea that all of the UK's problems can be solved by just.
Well, we're a nation
abstaining.
Of alcoholics. There's no question about that.
Abstaining,
Stevie though. Stevie here is one of the very few people that's emailed or tweeted us today that actually has had correct spelling and grammar and is quite clearly drunk.
Not that we're judging you.
Yeah, fair play. It's true. He is the only one who I haven't had to self-correct while I'm flipping reading it. Well done, Stevie. Although you spelled your name wrong, I suspect you're either Steve or Stephen.
No. It could be okay. Stevie Nicks.
Could be. Could be. Yeah, could
that's
be a woman.
Right, Stevie
yeah. Sorry, Stevie. Sorry, babes. Let's have a drink sometime.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
So what we're asking is, because of Kanye, if you've just tuned in, obviously Kanye West booked a headline, Glasto, 120,000 people have signed a petition.
That's like within
1,000 people.
Just a couple of days. Just a couple of days.
So getting your feedback as well on who you would like to petition to get out of your life. We've got Jeff from Kilburn on the line. G'day, Jeff.
Hi, guys.
Hey. How's Kilburn doing?
It's good. And so is Cricklewood.
Are you originally from Kilburn, Jeff?
Yeah, well, Kilburn and Cricklewood.
Incredible. Right. You're a dying breed.
Same as me.
You are a dying breed.
I'm a dying breed, yeah.
All right, Jeff.
There's not a lot of us there.
Jeff from Kilburn and Cricklewood. Who would you like to petition to get rid of in your life, mate, and why?
Okay, there's the mad guy with the shopping trolley that delivers the local newspapers.
Hey, man, Jeff, he's got to pay his bills somehow.
It sounds to me like you might have a few here, mate. Have you
got I know, he's got the
He's basically a tramp, but he's got some sort of job, pays him a bit of cash, and you don't want him too near, you know what I mean?
Why don't you get Jeff a job here?
He's unkempt, he's unhygienic.
Is he touching your door, Jeff?
Jeff?
Yeah.
He's not one of those people that, because of life circumstances out of his control, he couldn't get a job and now has to live on the streets because he has nowhere else to live and no support from anyone in his life, is he?
Oh, they're the worst.
Sorry, did you have another person that you want to get?
Let's go back to the list.
Matt Allwright from Watchdog.
He's a prick.
I'm not sure I know who that is, I'll just go along with you on that one anyway.
I
used to sell these chairs back in the 90s. They were very good chairs, actually, for old people.
I don't doubt that at all.
Like
some people say they're dodgy.
Chairs.
I say they're very good chairs.
Yeah.
You know, it's let the judge decide, but there isn't going to be a court case. That's all right. But I wouldn't want him near me.
Yes.
Because that would just be bad news.
Yep.
Don't want any fights breaking out.
Hugh Edwards, the news guy.
Hey, Jeff, which one is he?
I don't like the look of him. He's aggressive. He's angry.
Jeff on every single comment so far.
We've only got an hour and a half, Jeff. How many do you actually have on the list?
Let him finish the list.
Dirty hands. He's got dirty hands.
Who?
I saw him once at a motor show. He's got dirty hands and fingernails.
Is this someone you?
Chris Tarrant.
Yeah, we can do without him.
I agree. The lady said, political musicians, Boneo, Spice Girls, don't like them. All political people. Just sing a song for me. Sing me a song. Don't give me your politics. Or become a politician or sing me a song.
What's your favourite Spice Girls song, Jeff? Spice Up Your Life?
Mama. Mama, I love you.
Ooh, that's deep.
Hey, can I ask as well, we're obviously talking about people you want to petition to get out of your life. Is there anyone you would actually like to keep in your life?
I'd like to get James Brown into my life. All the time.
You know what I would say? He is a possible contender for the greatest musician of all time.
Because he'd just be beside you doing his soul and that, wouldn't he? And the splits. Brighten up your day.
And the
splits.
Brighten
up your day.
Yeah.
Hey, well, thank you so much. We're out of time now, Jeff. But thank
Jeff,
you so much.
It. You wrecked
You've
heart
been amazing, buddy.
Yeah.
And Cricklewood.
Yeah.
Yay! Jeffrey! Yeah.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.
Doc Brown, he's just relaxed and he's having a good time today. He rocked in a couple of minutes late and then he's hooned off to the toilet. Just got in time to crack a Coke can on.
Don't watch me.
No, they didn't. Now, this is the segment where basically some celebrity, or, well, apparently celebrity, well, the celebrities we're talking about today, we're not even sure really are celebrities, but it's where they do just really screwed up stuff. You know, give them a hard time about it, pick it apart. What we're talking about this week is the X Factor judges in New Zealand. Now, this is the panelists, Natalia Kills and Willie Moon, have been kicked off the show because they went to town so savagely on one of the contestants on X Factor that it was just classed as bullying and they both got fired. So we're talking about when criticism turns into just being plain mean. Mm. We've got Michael from Hampstead on the line. Hello, mate.
Yeah, it's Keith.
Keith?
Keith.
Where did I get
How
Michael
get
from?
Yeah, how did you get Michael?
I don't know.
Keith, K-E-E-F. I'm a long-time listener, first-time caller.
Good man.
All right, mate.
I'm loving it.
When's criticism just turned into plain
okay,
mean?
Okay, this is back in the 90s, so think about it, back mid-90s.
Mm-hmm.
He was around, I was around, I was playing songs in like a band, a rock band at the time, because rock was good then. And after, I says, the sound engineer, how was it? He goes, well, I thought you was shit.
The Stay Home Special with Doc Brown on FUBAR Radio.